Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857, and we'll be here till around 8 o'clock tonight. And today, we're going to talk about the Biebs, son, again, direct dials Bob Arum. Where do you hear what Arum has to say? Biebs got the direct line to Bob Arum, man. You want to talk to Bob Arum, you got to go through Beeb, you know what I mean? And let me tell you what, that's right, it was a huge, huge Beeb. I'm talking huge weekend for Title Town. Beeb, it doesn't get any bigger than this. This is the mecca of sports right here, Title Town, baby. I'm sure, Beeb, you would agree, yes?
After last night, we have to concede that point, I think.
What else are you going to say? I think so. But first, let's get started with Showtime. And let me tell you what, man, Showtime not off to a great start here. David Benavidez versus Romer Angulo. David Benavidez came in 3 pounds overweight for his 168-pound title defense. He said the last 3 pounds just wouldn't come off. All right, man. So, he lost his title on the scale. As for the fight, Benavidez won via 10th-round TKO in a completely one-sided fight. You know, listen, man, I mean, not for nothing. He came in heavy. He didn't have to starve himself. He didn't have to, you know, he came in 3 pounds over, talking about the weight wouldn't come off. Yeah, I expected him to look good. He didn't try to make weight. You know, you don't come in 3 pounds over, half a pound over, 1 pound over, Beeb, am I wrong? 3 pounds?
It's
three?
It's
three?
It's not a good look, but I'm gonna say a couple. Well, you finish what you have to say, and then when it's my turn, I'm gonna because I got some things to say, and it may take a little bit of time. So I'm gonna let you finish, and then when you kick it over to me to get my viewpoint on the whole situation,
sure.
then I'll go because I don't want to mess up your flow here.
I have no flow. You know me. I have no flow, Beeb. All right, so here's my thing. He comes in three. You could not drop 3 pounds. He didn't even try to make weight. All right, so I expected him to look good because he wasn't starved. He wasn't dehydrated. He wasn't the other guy. Hey, came in, made weight. You know, he's professional. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, he won via 10th round TKO. It was completely one-sided. I'm not sure if anyone, you know, first of all, I don't know that anybody thought this would be like uber competitive. You know, this is one of those classic WWF squash matches, you know, back in the day. And quite honestly, I don't have much to say about it. I'm tired of these types of fights, man. Everyone's talking about, hey, I want to fight this guy, I want to fight that guy. But when the fight's offered, they want $20 billion or something like that, you know. I mean, let's get it together here. Either you want it or you don't. And I get where they're coming from. I do. But I wish all this talk would stop. I wish all this talk, I want to fight this guy, I want to fight that guy. Listen, man, you fought this guy, Angulo. You didn't even make weight for it. How serious were you taking this fight? You know what I mean? I don't understand that. I don't get it. Beeb, talk to me about this fight. What were your thoughts when he got on that scale? What were your thoughts?
Well, I kind of got a soft spot in my heart for David Benavidez, and I'll tell you why. And again, I apologize because I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'm going to tie it in. Just like Tyson Fury, I can relate to Tyson Fury with the depression. I can relate to Benavidez with the weight. And this is a guy that used to weigh 250 pounds, and he lost 80 pounds.
I think that's great.
That's commendable.
Sure.
I at one point was about, I was 290-ish, and I lost 80 pounds, and I know how hard it is to lose that amount of weight.
Sure.
Took me about when I was in middle school, that's when I first dropped it. It took me about 6 months to lose the 80 pounds. So people look at them. we're not gonna go there. Some people have accused me of being on coke before, but no. But here's the thing. So that in itself is a great accomplishment, and it's not easy to do that. So because he's able to do, I have a soft spot in my heart for that. Number two, I love the way he fights. I think he, in my opinion, far and away, best fighter in the super middleweight division. I love his style. I'm going to talk about his style afterwards, but let me just get this out of the way real quick first. So, you know, people were saying, oh, he looks soft. Well, first of all, when you lose 80 pounds, really hard to, you know, to not have loose skin. So, like, David Benavidez is probably going to look soft the rest of his life unless he gets surgery to remove the excess skin. The guy lost 80 pounds. He lost a small child off his frame. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was saying to myself, why was this even a title fight? This should have just been a non-title fight, a stay-busy fight, right? Just to keep himself busy. With all due respect, this guy, did he really deserve a title shot? How is he ranked? How is he? And I say that with the utmost respect. He's a pro fighter. My hat goes off to all pro fighters. This is not disrespect. I apologize to him personally if this come up disrespectful to him.
So disrespectful.
But the skill gap was immense. This was like a friggin' amateur, not an amateur novice class fighting a pro. The skill gap was just outrageous. So if you want to fight a stay busy fight, why put the title on the line? You know? So he's saying to himself, Benavidez, why am I going to kill myself to make weight for this type of fight? But again, the title should have never been on the line. But he signed the contract. He was obligated to make weight. Shame on him. But he owned up to it, made no excuses. But here's the thing. By merit, yeah, he deserves to get another title shot. By merit. But by behavior, what's the WBC going to do? Are they going to continue to give this guy passes? Are they going to continue to you know, say to this guy, it's okay to do what you're doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to not make weight?
Yeah, they're going to. They're going
Tank
to. That's what they do.
You know, Tank hasn't made weight in a numerous amount of his fights, but he continues to get title shots. Other fighters went Neary, another guy has weight problems.
Yeah.
He continues to get. So I guess if you base it on merit and skill, it's hard to freeze these guys out. It's hard to freeze these guys out. But if you're a sanctioning body, you say to yourself, you know, if I keep giving this guy shots and he keeps getting stripped, I'm going to have to keep doing, you know, vacant titles now. I'm going to have now who's going to fight for this vacant WBC title? Will he fight for the vacant title against somebody? Or will there be two other guys fighting out? Does he go to the back of the line? Or how is this going to work? And at some point, you know, people are going to get tired of him not making weight. Now, this is the first time this happened with the not making weight. So there hasn't really been a pattern. The coke thing and this thing are totally two different issues. So I don't know if we can tie them together, you know, or if we can make an equivalency here of the two incidences. I'm going to say no. But again, I'm willing to give David Benavidez a third chance. And if the third chance doesn't pan out, then we have to sit there and start asking ourselves, you know, is this guy focused enough to be at this championship level? We know he's talented enough, but as I've always said, sometimes a weak character can undermine all the ability in the world. And that's not to say he's a bad person, but in terms of prioritizing his career, seems like he has some work to do in that area. I'm not here to judge him as a person, you know, tell him what he should do, what he shouldn't do. I'm not his moral compass by no means. I'm far from perfect myself. But I do know to be a professional fighter, you have to be 100% dialed in, 24/7 focused. And if you're not, it's going to catch up with you in the end. He's young now, but if he doesn't get on track and he continues to go down this road, when he's 28, 29, 30, it's going to be hard to bounce back from this type of behavior. So,
yeah,
I'm rooting for him to get back on track.
You know, you brought up a really good point about the character thing, and this type of behavior doesn't really go away. If you're at this level and you're at the stage and you've had success and you're still doing that kind of stuff, it's hard to get it to go away.
He's 23. Is he young enough to bounce back? Are you willing to say he's past the point of no return right now at 23? Now, if he was like Broner, which Broner? Broner's like 30.
Yeah,
now,
Broner's done, man. Yeah.
We can kind of just accept him for who he is, and he may never change because he's 30. But at 23, can we cut the guy some slack, or is it time to just throw out the baby with the bathwater? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, JC in the chat just says he's got lots of potential, but he's got to get it together. And listen, can't make a living off potential, you know. And what's going to happen if he does this in this fight, when he gets a real big fight and he comes in overweight, you know. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even, you know, like I said, if I was Angulo, and Angulo has no real power, you know, he can't make him lose the weight. You know what I'm saying? But you get in there with, you know, top guys, they're going to make him cut that weight, you know, or they're going to get a percentage of his purse or whatever. I mean, or they're just going to call off the fight.
Well,
most guys
will take a percentage of the purse.
Yeah.
And they'll fight for the title, and if they lose heat, the title's vacant again. So if you're a fighter and you made weight and your opponent didn't make weight, and the title's on the line for you,
yeah,
it's hard to pass that up because you don't want to go back, back to the back of the line,
right?
You know, by turn. But it depends, you know. You would think that there would be some negative effects of being over, but he probably didn't even try to really make the weight.
No.
Like,
no, I guarantee you, once he got on that scale, that was it.
When you're 3 pounds over, you know you're 3 pounds over. You're getting on a scale. You're getting on a scale a couple hours before you get on it. He knew he was over.
Yep.
Like if you're 1 pound over, maybe 2 pounds over, then the argument can be made that you tried to make weight. When you're 3 pounds over, you didn't try to make weight.
No.
So what it says to me is I have to ask myself if he really thinks that his title is important, that he would not fight to keep it, not just in the ring, but on the scales. It's one thing losing to an opponent, but if you're losing to the scale, you have control over that.
You can control your weight and you can control, you know, your cardio. And those are pretty much it. I mean, you really think about it, it's pretty much it. Because at that level, everybody's good. Everybody's solid fighters. Everybody knows what the other guy is going to do, how to defend, everything like that. Those are really the only things you can control.
It's one thing, you got a game plan, you go into the fight.
Yeah.
And then your opponent just throws a monkey wrench in your game plan, and no matter what you do, it doesn't work. That's out of your control. So you did the best you can with your game plan, but your game plan just wasn't the right game plan
mm-hmm.
on the night.
Sure.
And you can't do anything about that. But you can control your weight if you train and eat properly. And the problem is, you know, I know a lot of people have said the same thing, but these guys just don't train when they don't have a fight schedule. They just don't train when they don't have a fight schedule.
I think I'm going to show our age here. I mean, back in the day, do you remember people missing weight left and right? Back in the 80s and stuff like the Hagler era and the Hearns era. I mean,
even Duran, who had the worst outside of the ring, this was a guy who would get up to 200 pounds and make 147.
Yeah, I mean, right? He would blow up between fights, man.
But when this started happening was when they had those next day weigh-ins, because it gave people that false sense of security that I can balloon up in weight and rehydrate, you know? So it's one thing being over the day of the fight, but if you're over the day before the fight, it doesn't really matter because you're going to put on more weight anyway. You know what I'm saying? So these guys have such a large window. And back in the day, you know, people were forced to fight in their real weight classes. You know, if you were a guy that walked around at 190 pounds, you weren't fighting at middleweight. You were fighting at light heavyweight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But today, you have guys walking around at 190 pounds who fight at 154.
Right.
You could never do that if you had same-day weigh-ins. You just couldn't do it. So when you had the same-day weigh-ins back in the day, it forced people to fight in their real weight classes. And I've never, ever, ever been a fan of this day before weigh-in. And I don't – people say that it helps, it's safer, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it's even more dangerous because then you have guys who are rehydrating up to a godly amount of weight. You know, they're twice the size of their opponent, so it's a physical mismatch in that regard. And then sometimes guys strip themselves so much, and then they try to put it all back on in such a short period of time, and they're just shocking their system, and it ends up making them sluggish the next day, putting on such a great amount of weight in a short period of time after coming down for so long. Your body needs to get acclimated to a weight. Now, obviously, it's not going to get acclimated in 36 hours, but at least, you know, if you're forced to walk around at the right weight because you can't balloon up if you're going to have to weigh in the day of, so you're forced to fight in a weight class that you're supposed to fight at, so you're not that much over. These guys are doing more damage sometimes because they're giving themselves a false sense of security, and they're putting themselves in a situation where they think they're going to be weight bullies, but what they're really doing is they're destroying their body, because it's not good for your heart to go up and down in weight so quickly and in such large amounts.
Lobito Zen Boxing is saying that in the bubble you can't train in the hotel the last week, I believe. He also said that you can't go, no going outside your room, no sauna. I don't care. I'll be honest, I don't care. I mean, and he may be right about that. As far as the rules go, I don't know. I don't know what they do in the bubble. I don't know how they can train, not train, what's what over there. Maybe he has the inside track. I don't know. But the bottom line, I could care less. It's still your job to make weight. I mean, it is.
But
you know?
Even with Benavidez, looking the way people say he's soft, whatever, and he's overweight, but he's always seems conditioned to fight hard for 12 rounds.
Yeah. I'll go along with that, yeah.
It doesn't affect him performance-wise.
Well, no, because he doesn't have to starve himself to get there. I mean, he just left the weight on. And you're talking about 3 pounds he just left on. You know, can you imagine if he had to suffer and get that 3 pounds off?
I don't know if Libido's Den Boxing heard me earlier, but Benavidez is never going to be a hard body. The guy lost 80 pounds. His body is going to have loose skin on it. You don't lose 80 pounds and your skin's going to automatically be tight after losing 80 pounds. Benavidez, I'm not saying he's a body beautiful. I'm not saying he's ripped, but he lost 80 pounds. And fat cells do not go away. They shrink. So once you acquire a certain amount of, when you acquire any amount of fat cells, once you're heavy, those fat cells are going to stay there. They may shrink, but they don't go away.
Right.
That's just the way it is. So Benavidez is never going to be shredded. He's just never going to be a body beautiful. So you can't judge Benavidez by the way he looks, because talent-wise, you can't judge his book by its cover when it comes to Benavidez. Talent-wise, he's levels above just about everybody else.
Yeah, and I mean, in my, you know, my thing is, I don't care what he looks like. I mean, I really don't. I don't care what he looks like. My big contention is the fact that he didn't make weight.
No,
you know,
I'm just,
that,
I'm,
I mean,
I'm just,
no, I know what you're saying, but I'm saying there's been a lot of talk about, you know, his body and everything like that. Listen, I mean, we all know, you know, his story and where he came from and everything, but it's just one.
He always looks
things,
like,
you know?
He always looks like that.
Yeah.
Whether he makes weight or not, he still looks the same.
Right. He's not like Andy Ruiz is never going to be that guy. You're never going to mistake him for AJ.
Now, Andy Ruiz, he was how many pounds heavier? He was, what was he, 287 or something?
For the rematch, he was 15 pounds heavier. Yeah, 15.
So he was 15 pounds heavier. That's a different story.
Yeah.
When you're 3 pounds off, I mean, it's not going to change your body that much.
No.
The way these people are talking, like, he was 3 pounds over, like, it made him look like a slop just because he was 3 pounds over. The 3 pounds is not going to affect how you look that much.
No, but I'll tell you, the 3 pounds for me, the fact that he didn't have to cut it, I think made – and again, it didn't make a difference in the outcome. Benavidez was going to steamroll this guy either way, no question.
But to my point, should the title have even been on the line last night?
No.
The fight should have been a non-title.
Yeah, I mean, if you
should have
put
the
stuff, I mean, yeah, no, of course
like,
not.
These guys are coming back from a long layoff. They're coming back from the pandemic. They're not able to train the way they were normally training. And this is not to make excuses for them, but it's just the reality of the situation.
Sure.
Like, Frampton, like a lot of these fighters came back and fought non-title fights. Right? A lot of them did. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he just come back and fight a non-title fight? That's what I'm saying.
He really should have, and that way he wouldn't have lost the title. I don't think he took this that serious. I really don't. I mean, and I don't know how you can when you come in 3 pounds over.
Well, once again, not to make excuses, but it's hard to get up for a guy like the guy he was fighting.
Yeah.
It's just hard to do that.
Yeah,
if he had
someone
else
big
in
name
front
guy.
Of him.
Yeah, it's not a big name guy. If he had Caleb Plant in front of him, let's see. He's
going
to make weight.
If he had a Caleb Plant in front of him, even if he had a Vildrum in front of him, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
He would have been ready. He would have made weight, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you know that's his job. You know, is to make weight. I don't know.
I thought he was good last night. To be honest with you,
I did too. I mean, I expected him to steamroll this guy, and he did what he was expected to do. You know,
but he looked sharp with it, like his timing, his combinations. He was precise, fluid.
He looked good.
I just love that this guy could just reel off combinations. I'm going to say something blasphemous right now, and I know everyone's going to be like, "Be really crazy." But, again, when you make a comparison, you're not saying that the person is that person. You're saying that they share a similarity, that he does something similar to that person. The way he throws his jab, it's so hard to gauge that jab. Because you know a lot of guys, sometimes they really lean in with their shoulder.
Yeah.
They really step hard with their foot when they jab. They step it in.
You
it's almost like you
can
tell. The way he throws it is like Tommy Hearns. Now Tommy Hearns would just kind of like shift his hip, bend his knee, and it would come right from the elbow, and it was just hard to time it because it's coming out like a stiletto. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like boom, boom. And the way he throws that jab reminds me of Tommy Hearns. And Tommy Hearns used to throw a flick jab. He throws somewhat of a flick jab, but it's a very authoritative jab. Like his jab, he has one of the best jabs in boxing, in my opinion, right now. The way, because he's so stealth in the way he can throw it. It's so hard to see it coming out. I'm going to use this example that I always use. When you get up to bat, right, and you got a pitcher throwing pitches at you, you can see the windup. You know. When the ball is going to be released because you can see the extension of the guy's arm. But when you get into a batting cage and you're going and that thing's just going choop, 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 it's much harder to gauge when that ball's coming out. That's the same thing with Benavidez's jab. Because he's just shooting it from the hip and from the elbow and it's all hip and he just bends. You don't have to always just you know, over-accentuate the movement with a jab. You don't have to make that big, heavy step forward. You can just shift your hip and bend it and just bend your knee and just, boom, you know, lean into the jab. You know, you, have it be a strong, hard jab. So because of it's so subtle how the delivery on that thing is. It's hard to time it and gauge it. And he just doubles and triples it. And he does the movement so effortlessly. Like he's not like boom, boom, boom. Like it's just like so habitual. Like it's just natural ability. Like you could tell when someone's working on trying to do something and someone's trying hard to get something done. This is like riding a bike to him, the way he fights. Like he can just reel off combinations. Like he's just such an instinctive. He's a very instinctive type fighter. You give him that little opening, like those uppercuts that he lands. There's like this much space, and the way he can just thread the needle, and the way he's just like boom, 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 boom. The guy, you'll have your hand, the guy will have his hands up like this, give him these little spaces to land punches, and this guy's like. Like a surgeon with his hands. I'm sorry. Like I'm really high on the way Benavidez fights. I just love the way he fights.
I like Benavidez a lot. I mean, as far as his fighting style and everything like that, JC's asking, does he beat Caleb Plant? I think he does. I really think he does. I think he's definitely he's more versatile than Caleb Plant. Put it that way to me.
And Libido's Den Boxing made a great point. He said when he fought Love and Porky Medina, he looked insanely fast. Mm-hmm. And speed is gauged in so many different ways. And it can be delivered in so many different ways. Like, for instance, some guys are just explosive. They have natural, fast twitch muscle fibers. You hear me say this all the time. But other guys are fast because they shorten up the distance and that their punches are traveling. Because of their technique. If you're a guy, like in other words, if you're stepping in with a jab and you're going like Triple G, you see how Triple G is like, well, I mean, Jenny Steph. But if you're just going shortening that movement up and you're just taking a lot of the other areas out of that movement, like the putting less shoulder in it, not stepping forward hard, and you're just like if you shorten up the movement, then that makes you faster too. You know, if you're throwing a hook, and you're not opening up and going like that. You're just shooting it from your elbow and your hip. And you're shortening up the movement. Then obviously the punch is going to get there faster because it's a shorter distance to travel. And that's the same thing with Benavidez. So is he like a dynamically gifted athletic guy? To some degree, yes. But a lot of it comes from his technique as well.
Yeah.
In my opinion, just being able to shorten up those movements and be subtle with those movements and not have a lot of over accentuation of the movements. You know what I'm saying? Like not like just by having the movements be subtle, they're quick and direct because of that, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, and to answer Libido's question, yeah, I do think he beats Caleb Plant. I don't think
I do too. I think,
and I love Caleb Plant. I'm a big Caleb Plant guy, man. I really am.
And Caleb Plant is quick to criticize Benavidez because of the out of the ring lifestyle, and it's going to catch up to him.
And he's right.
Yeah,
maybe.
He's right.
And he's right.
But let's be honest, it may catch up with him, but it ain't caught up with him yet.
Yeah, and it will. It will.
It will.
Based on history and everything like that, you and I have watched the sport for a long time. It will catch up with him.
We know. We don't wish that on anyone, but the empirical data,
it ain't catching up with them right now.
Yeah. So
don't catch up with them in a couple years.
In other words, what I'm trying to say to Calvin Plant is don't go into a fight banking on it being a problem now.
Yes.
Because it's not a problem now.
Right.
It's a problem now because it makes him lose his titles, but it's not a problem in terms of his ability.
No.
Because we have not seen any signs of his ability wavering at all as of yet, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a real talented guy, man, for sure. All right, let's go to our train wreck of the week here. I tell you what, man, this was...
It's not Benavidez.
Ironically enough, no, it's not. It could have been Benavidez, but no, not
Benavidez. Cut the guy's slack, for Christ's sake. Cut the guy's slack. Leave him alone.
Raleigh Romero versus Jackson Marinez. Raleigh Romero, TMT fighter, wins a completely disputed unanimous decision over Jackson Marinez by the scores of 115, 113, 116, 112, and 118, 110. If you saw the fight, let that score marinate for a minute. 118, 110. Showtime had the fight 117, 111 for Marinez. I had the fight 118, 110 for Marinez. Let me tell you, the way the fight got started off, Romero looked really good in the first round. I thought he was throwing power. You could tell he was throwing bombs. He was trying to get this guy out of there. But the second round, I tell you what, Marinez looked like he got it going, man. He countered very well. And he was kind of able to really neutralize Romero in that round. And after the third round, Romero looked completely dejected in this fight. I mean, he had that look like he was in deep water. He didn't know what to do with this guy. You know, Romero was looking for that one big shot, and quite honestly, I thought he landed it a few times during the course of the fight, man. But Marinez didn't go anywhere. He took the shots pretty well. And, you know, Romero just simply, he couldn't put the shots together. He couldn't hit Marinez on a regular basis. In my view, I thought he just completely outclassed Romero. I have no idea what the judges were watching. Frank Lombardi scored the fight 118-110. He should be taken out back and shot. I mean, I don't know what the... Bang, bang.
Whoa,
That's right.
That's murder. We can't endorse murder.
I didn't stop. Maybe shoot him in the leg or something. I mean, I'm not a savage, Beeb. Come on.
Maybe with a dart or something. Not like a BB gun. Not a real bullet.
Well, BB gun will break the skin.
Okay, we'll allow that.
BB gun will break the skin.
A little BB gun in the ass or something. That's it.
All right. Well, we can do that. I think he's got to
kill him. You don't want to kill anybody.
He's talking about killing somebody, Beeb. What's the matter with you? Get it together over there.
The only gun I shoot
you're
is
spending too much time with Whitey Bulger out there in Massachusetts.
The only guns I'm shooting nowadays is laser tag. And when I go to that carnival and I'm trying to blow the balloon up with the water gun.
That's right. We're trying to win prizes.
Trying to win the teddy bear for the girl.
That's right. Beeb, I thought I want to see Marinez fight again. Now, the WBA, I guess, had said at the end of the fight or whatever, they said that they're going to talk to both guys about a rematch. Sanction a rematch. It's your sanction. He's got your title, your interim title, whatever that means. We're going to talk to both guys. Shut up. That was awful. That was an awful decision. And they robbed that kid. What were your thoughts on it, Beeb?
I had it 8-4.
For Raleigh Romero?
Not for Romero, for that. What's the other guy's name?
Marinez, yeah, Jackson Marinez.
Jackson Marinez.
Yeah.
I had it for Marinez, 8-4. But I will say this. I don't have a problem with the 115 and 113 scorecard. And the reason why is when I was watching the first four rounds of this fight, the first round I gave to Romero.
Yeah, I thought that was a no-brainer, yeah.
But round three... Like rounds 2, 3, and 4, I had a real hard time scoring those rounds. I gave Romero the 1st, 5th, 7th, and 8th. But it would not be impossible for me to give him the first 5 rounds. And I'll tell you why. Because the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th were very close rounds. They could have gone his way.
Because I thought the second, third, especially at the end of that third round, is when I looked at Romero and he looked completely lost. He looked like that kid who didn't study for a test. And that's where I was like, wow. I'm watching and I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, like he's really, because he was going forward and then right around the 3rd, 4th round, he just stopped throwing shots. I mean, he was more hesitant because he was getting hit. He was getting countered. I mean, and he couldn't hit that kid.
Well, here's the thing. Early in the fight, there wasn't a lot of action from both fighters.
Yeah.
And Romero was missing. There's no question about that. There's no question about that. But, you know, it's The other kid was just landing like a jab here and there early on. Second half of the fight is when he started landing some eye-catching shots. So, you know, the first four rounds I fought, like I said, I don't have a problem with the 115 and 113 scorecard. I really don't. The other two I think were off, in my opinion. I think the other two were off, in my opinion. You know, I kind of feel bad for Marquez, but hopefully, I know for sure he wants a rematch, but the thing is, does Romero want one?
No.
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
So
it shouldn't matter.
So if you ask Romero if he wants a rematch, he's going to say no. But if you're the sanctioning body and you watch that fight and you think there was something wrong with that scoring, then obviously you step in and you order that rematch.
Right. And he said that, you know, I guess Mendoza said he was going to talk to both camps about it. I'm like, you can mandate this. You have the title. You know, it's your title.
Again, Romero's not going to want a rematch.
No.
But after the, you know, I had a tough time. You know, Marquez is definitely going to want to. Is definitely going to want a rematch.
Sure, there's
no question about that.
If you're Romero, do you give him one? If you're Romero's people,
no,
I don't give him one at all.
I don't give him one. No, I mean, for what?
Right. I say, hey, we want a unanimous decision.
I'm lucky that
That's exactly what I say.
And Romero didn't think he won that fight. He was dejected at the end of that fight.
He was. You could see it.
He didn't think he won that fight.
That guy's all wrong for him. That's not the kind of guy he needs in his, you know. And again, man, if I'm his guys, hey, listen, Romero, you know, I'm not going to give him a rematch. I want a unanimous decision. What else do I need? I want almost every round.
But early on, Marquez was just landing like one jab at like one or two jabs and stuff. And if you were going to give him rounds, you were going to give him rounds like for just eking them out, basically, early on. Like, in the beginning of this fight, the first five rounds, it wasn't an action-packed affair.
No, but I didn't think that Raleigh was doing enough to win those rounds. Like, in that first round, he really came forward. But in that second, third, he didn't do that.
But in the second, third, and fourth, honestly, Eric, in my opinion, and did you think that you know, Marquez did a lot too? In the beginning of this fight didn't start really heating up until the sixth round.
Right. Now, did he do enough to win? Yes. Was he winning?
Were those rounds decisive rounds?
I thought they were. I did think they were. Yeah, I did think they were.
Two, three, and four?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, because I'm going to be honest with you. When this fight first started, I was saying to myself, fucking, this is going to be a shit fight to score, man. I don't like watching fights like this. I had a hard time in the beginning scoring this fight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at the end of a round, you're like, boom, this guy won. Like, the first round, you know, Romero won the first round. After the second, third, and fourth, I was scratching my head a little bit. I thought Romero won the fifth. I thought that was a good fifth round. I gave him the seventh and the eighth. I'm surprised a lot of people didn't give him the seventh, but they gave him the eighth. I thought he had a good seventh round, too.
I was really surprised at the way this kid came out. He came out hot, man. He came out throwing bombs, and I thought, man, he's got this kid's – I mean, this kid's going to get caught. And I'm speaking of Romero is going to catch this guy. And it's almost like it just all disappeared. Once that third round, after that second round, when he wasn't able to connect and he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do, and then he started getting stuck with shots on the way in. After that third round, you look at his face and he's going to that corner. You look at his face, he looks completely dejected. You know, and that's when I'm like, wow. You know, because I mean, this kid. I mean. When I'm watching this, like I said, after that first, it was so weird to see from that first round, this guy was coming out there like a whirlwind, and to see him go that fast, you know, to, like I said, I mean, to see his reaction that fast, I don't know. It was just, it was something to watch, man. But I think that kid needs they need to put him in there with like a comeback type fight. They need to get him a guy who suits his style.
So you gave Romero three rounds. You said,
I gave him two. I gave him the first round and.
Did you give him the eighth?
I want to say the seventh. I'm not sure. I'm not 100%.
You gave him the seventh. Yeah. Okay, you didn't give him the eighth?
I did not give him the eighth.
Okay. All right, I mean, it is what it is.
Corey,
but,
oh, go ahead.
But I was going to say, like I said, I'm just going to reiterate that the 115-113 I didn't think was a horrible scorecard.
The 118-110.
The 118-110.
That was bad.
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. Corey Lee, thank you so much. He said, great show. I'm on hold. Let's go ice season. #CLB. What does that mean?
CLB.
Let's see. Well, let's find out here.
Let's find out.
804, you're live. Corey.
Hey, what's going on, man? Can y'all hear me?
That's drive-thru again.
How y'all doing today, man?
We're doing well.
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I'm at work, but I'm going to talk real quick. Yeah, man, I just want to talk about... I want to talk about... Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to talk about Rolly Romero. Rolly.
Yes.
Man, wow. First of all, I want to say great show, man. I catch y'all at work on the podcast. So if y'all guys having that or listening at home, go check out theirs on the podcast, you know. So yeah, I'll be listening to every show, man, faithfully, even though I don't call.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Still show y'all love, man. But
thank
yeah,
you so
man,
much.
I just want to say, man, so what was I going to say? So, yeah, Rolly, man, I think he got beat. I really do. He talked a lot of shit leading up into this fight. The guy from Fight Hype was interviewing him. He was trying to conduct a professional interview. Rolly kept saying that, you know, he was going to knock this guy out, you know, over and over and over. And I really truly thought that, you know, Rolly was going to be, you know, in a little bit of trouble, being that this is his first, you know, real competition that he's faced. And this is the first time that he's got to face adversity. Now, let's see what he does from this day moving forward, because my personal opinion is it was a telltale sign when he did the interview with Fight Hype and he said, hey, did Mayweather help you work on anything? You know, since you've been signed to him, he said pretty much every time that him and Mayweather talk, Mayweather told him to work on his jab. Where the fuck was Rolly's jab at in this fight? That's a telltale sign. I mean, come on, you guys. That was a hidden gem right there. Rolly really pretty much does not have any jab. It was non-existent, you know? And all of the top-level fighters have a jab. You cannot get through the sport of boxing, you know, without having a jab. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work. Eventually, you'll get iced. And if Rolly was in there with a puncher last night, he would have got iced because he was leaving himself susceptible, you know, to the body. I mean, body shots was just all day for Rolly. If you could attack his body up all day, it was just wide open in my point of view. But, yeah, I think moving forward, I think Rolly needs to take a step back. Even if they take that belt from him, I don't think he needs to do a rematch because he would definitely lose. And right now, man, I think he should just, you know, fight, you know, lower level a competition until he's at least, you know, get some type of jab going and Tweely is at least 20-0. My personal opinion right now, Rolly is not ready for the next level. That's Corey Lee Boxing on the breakdown for Rolly. The McCaskill versus Brekus, excuse me if I'm butchering her name, but the woman's fight, that was a pretty good fight.
Brekus,
I didn't hear y'all's breakdown, but I think they got it right. I mean, it was a 50-50 fight even at the end of the fight. I think, you know, the decision could have went either way, but that's what happened when you leave it to the judges. Shit like that happens. And shit like that happens with the Rolly case. You never know what these judges are thinking. We talk about it time and time again on this show and on other podcasts that, you know, the judges have a mind of their own. We could be all thinking the same thing and the judges think the complete opposite. Right, Bees?
That's it.
So
that's it.
So, you know, so I just really think that, you know, she from, you know, from her, you know, her story is really good. And for her having been the undisputed champion now, I think she'll put, you know, put this back on the map. Now, I do think Brikus, excuse me if I'm butchering her name, I do think that she will, get the rematch, and I think the rematch will be a lot different in the first fight. I think she will get her belts back in the rematch, being that, you know, she's had so much elite level experience. But for a girl that's only 8-2, that was a hell of a performance, man. I got to give her a round of applause for that. I mean, 8-2. Can you believe that? Only 8-2. A professional record of only 8-2. Limited to none amateur experience, and having a full-time job pretty much some of her career, her professional career. Yeah, I did my research on her. McCaskill, I think, is her name. But I really think that she's a really good story. She's from Chicago. And, yeah, man, kudos to her. She's the undisputed champion now. And Eddie Hearn has been working his magic with, you know, a couple different, you know, cases like that, you know, witness fighters and stuff like that, that another company probably wouldn't take their chances on. But yeah, man, I really think that boxing is back right now, and I can't wait to see what's going on moving forward, man. And, you know, as far as David Benavidez goes, I think David Benavidez, man, I mean, you know, he's at 168 right now. A fight with him and Charlo could be, you know, on the horizon, but him losing his belt, you know, could he get back in a possible showdown with him and Charlo, or him and Caleb Plant? I mean, you know, I just don't know, man. I don't know how long Benavidez can make this weight. My personal opinion is, I said this on my show, I think Benavidez will end his career as a heavyweight. This guy is huge, massive. And he's so young, you know, 22, 23. At one point, he was the youngest current world champion in the entire world of boxing. So that should tell you, and that was only a year ago. So that should tell you what route he's going. But thank you, guys. I got to get back to work, man. I love the show, man. And I just really thank you for answering the call, Eric and Bees. And, you know, y'all have a great night, man. Peace out, y'all.
All right. Thank you so much, Corey. We appreciate it. We appreciate the you're listening and everything like that, man. Thank you so much. And check out Corey Lee Boxing on YouTube if you can. He's got a great show, always got interesting content on there and everything like that. So make sure to check it out. It's a great show. Beeb, let's talk about, before we go back to the phones here real quick, let's talk about the ESPN card real quick here. Carl Frampton versus Darren Trainer. Frampton wins via 7th-round TKO over Darren Trainer. You know, listen, man, Frampton didn't look overly impressive in this fight. I'm not sure what the deal was. Could have been. I mean, he's fighting, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe the no crowd really does affect him. I don't know. He started very slow, just didn't look like himself. Trainer was popping him at times. I mean, he wasn't winning the fight. Trainer wasn't winning the fight, but, I mean, he was in there. You know, in the 6th round, I thought Frampton really started going after his body. And that's what did the trick for him. It was said after the fight that everyone on Frampton's team and everyone on Jermell Herring's team is on board for that fight next. Frampton obviously knocked him out with a body shot. He just kind of got up and quit, you know. So the big fight that we're looking forward to next is Herring versus Frampton. You know, Beeb, I got to be honest, man. I originally liked Frampton in that fight big. I really did. I didn't think, you know, I like Herring, okay? I really like Herring. I like his story and everything like that. I just don't know, like, where he is on the level with these guys. But I'll tell you what, after watching Frampton fight last night, I'm not 100% sure that Frampton beats him, man. I'm not 100% sure anymore. And I had him winning, you know, like I said, man, I had Frampton winning the, you know, that fight against Herring, but I don't know, man.
Well, the problem is the size difference. You know, Herring's a lot bigger. But Herring is a worker. He's a grinder.
Yeah, he is.
Throws a shitload of punches. He can fight very well on the inside. Frampton can fight a little bit on the inside. He's not a bad inside guy. But to me, you know, Frampton's always been a slow starter, you know? We saw him in other fights start slow. The second Leo Santa Cruz fight, he started, got out to a slow start. Scott Quigg fight got out to a very slow start and came on, you know, in the second half of the fight and did very well. This kind of reminded me of those fights where he put it on late. But the one problem I'm starting to see with Frampton is he's just a little bit hesitant now when he pulls the trigger. Like sometimes the brain and the body aren't in sync as you get older. Remember De La Hoya couldn't pull the trigger anymore. Like the brain, your body, you know, you see things and your brain sees things, but that connection with your body just isn't in tune. It's not in sync. And I'm starting to see a little bit of that from Frampton.
You think there's some slippage there? You think that's
he can't pull the trigger like he used to, in other words. Like he sees the openings, but he's not acting on them instinctively and as quickly as he was able to do in his younger days.
Does he have enough to beat Herring?
I like Frampton a lot. I love his style. If you look at it in terms of skill, you would think that Frampton is the more well-rounded fighter, the counterpunch. He's a little slicker, a little more savvy. A little more slicker and savvy. That's not taking anything away from Herring. Herring is like a guy that brings his lunch pail to work. He's a, like I said, he's a grinder, you know. He's a blue-collar guy, whereas Frampton's kind of that slickster, that Wall Street trader type guy. He's a smart guy in that regard. And, you know, I just think that because he can't pull the trigger like he used to, and, you know, he's going to be in there with a volume guy, a guy that's big, that's strong, a guy that can body you, a guy that can muscle you. We've seen Frampton kind of have problems with Santa Cruz in the second fight, because Santa Cruz kind of used his size, you know, so he's gonna be giving up reach. I think Frampton at this stage may lose this fight. To be honest with you, I think he's gonna lose.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I mean, he didn't look great. He didn't look overly great in that fight. I'll put it that way. You know, and he caught him in the sixth round, and he just didn't look that great, man. Michael Conlan versus Sofyan Takush. Conlan wins via 10th round TK over Takush. Honestly, I thought the stoppage might have been a bit premature, but that being said, Takush wasn't really protesting too much. So,
no.
You know, I mean, and he wasn't going to win the fight. He was taking shots. So I get it. All right, I get it. Conlan now moves to 14-0, and I got to think, man, I thought he looked pretty good. Everybody was saying that, well, he needs this explosive, you know, knockout win and this and that. Listen, man, he won every minute of that fight. I mean, I really did. I thought he looked sharp. I thought he looked good. And, you know, I mean, he's got to be getting close, man. Got to be getting close to a title shot, no?
Yeah.
You're not impressed with Conlan?
Well, they're going to get him a title shot because of his name.
Sure.
And because of who he's with. You know, Conlan, I think, is an entertaining fighter.
Yeah.
But I think he's got some holes.
I think so, too.
I think he's got some defensive liabilities. I think that, he has problems with guys who can fight well on the outside. He's not a great outside fighter. So I think if he gets in there with a slickster, he can get outboxed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in there with Shakur Stevenson, put it that way.
Yes. Like, no. A guy like Shakur Stevenson will pick him apart.
Yeah.
So do I like Conlan? I think he's a good fighter, but again, I think his style doesn't match up well against everybody.
Yeah.
So that, in that regard, can he win a title? Yes, against the right guy. But not against a guy like Stevenson. You know?
No, I think it has to be definitely the right guy. There's
but
no
the problem is, top-ranked fighters, Bob likes to do in-house fights.
Yeah.
So if he matches him up with Stevenson, I don't think he wins. I could see Bob doing that. I could see Bob putting that fight together.
That's interesting. I would think that you'd run these guys parallel. You know, I really do. I would think to make the most money as a promoter, that's what I would think. But I don't know.
But don't be surprised. Bob throws curveballs every now and then.
Yeah, as we found out.
He may think that he's got limited time with Conlon, and he wants to probably put more of his efforts into Stevenson.
That could be too. That could be too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. On DAZN, Cecilia Breakhouse versus Jessica McCaskill. McCaskill made history by undefeated Cecilia Breakhouse by majority decision, 95-95, 97-93, and 97-94. McCaskill now holds every belt possible in the women's welterweight division, and this would have been Breakhouse's 26th title defense. That's big. 25 title defenses. Wow. Babe, you agreed with the score on this, and you said you didn't think this fight was that close.
I'm hearing controversial decision. Could have gone either way. I had this fight 97-93.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought McCaskill clearly won the fight. Problem was I thought Breakers had a hard time. Again, same situation. 38 years old, had a hard time pulling the trigger. Her jab, she was not getting her jab off. Back in the day, she would be like, boom, 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 get off three jabs. She'd keep you out there because she'd be so active with their jab. She was throwing one jab, and sometimes she was her jab was not coming out as fast as it normally did. She's normally a beautiful outside fighter, you know, stick and move, pop, pop, boom, pivot, you know, slide off to the side. But McCaskill, who against Katie Taylor, is not the fastest fighter in the world, but Katie Taylor is another person who can grind it out on the inside with them.
Yeah.
That's not Breakhouse's game. So once McCaskill was able to get past that infrequent jab of Breakhouse, she was doing some great work on the inside. She was landing some good 45, good body shots, putting shots together, pushing Breakhouse back. And Breakhouse, who's the bigger fighter, much bigger fighter, I thought was getting manhandled a little bit on the inside. And she was definitely being outworked. So Breakhouse, again, another person I think who's turning the corner. Great career, but 38 years old. Once again, brain wants to do things, but it's not in tune with the body.
That's 37. You're getting up there, man.
So if you watch that fight, you're going to sit there and say, well, this isn't the Breakhouse that I'm used to seeing. And this sounds horrible because I don't want to take anything away from McCaskill. What a fight she fought. She had to be in phenomenal shape to fight the way she fought. But Breakers was getting tired. She was getting worn down. You could see her in the corner. She was taking deep breaths because she did not like the pace of this fight. Breakers likes to fight in spurts. She likes to, like I said, pot shot from the outside. She likes to pepper you with the jab. Nice little peppering jab, not really put much on it, so she's not overexerting herself. Slipping in a big right hand every now and then. You know what I'm saying? She likes to fight at a very methodical pace. McCaskill did not allow her to fight at that pace. She put this fight in overdrive and, you know, switched into fourth gear while Breakers was still stuck in second.
Yeah.
So she got outworked. Breakers clearly got outworked here, and she wasn't able to keep McCaskill on the outside with her long jab. It just wasn't the jab that I'm used to seeing, and it was just wasn't as frequent, and she just wasn't throwing it as much as she used to. So,
you know, when I read that McCaskill used to be homeless when she was younger, and I mean, what a comeback story for her.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is huge. I mean, she's
great kid, great kid, very humble, nice person. But yeah, I thought she clearly won the fight. I thought she outworked her, clearly.
There you go. UFC 52, we'll touch on this briefly. Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic. Stipe Miocic wins a unanimous decision over DC. It was a good fight, man, but to me, Stipe clearly won. I don't know for the life of me why DC didn't try to take him down and try to wrestle. It was completely stand-up for the entire five rounds. After the win, Stipe is now considered the best heavyweight ever in the UFC. Beeb, do you know where Stipe's from?
I think he lives in Ohio right now. I'm not sure where he's from.
Titletown, baby, Titletown. That's it, baby. Stipe is the GOAT, son, and he's from Titletown. JC said it best. Stipe is the GOAT. Listen, man, Titletown is at a banner week. Stipe, the number one heavyweight, the baddest man on the planet from Cleveland, Ohio, top rank, just signed Duke Reagan, the highest, the biggest prospect out there right now from Cincinnati, is now on Top Rank's billboard. You got to love it, baby. Beeb. Come on, man, you got to get on the bandwagon, baby.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, because this question was asked of me earlier today. Does Stipe beat John Jones at heavyweight?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm going to say no.
John Jones has got to be the baddest guy out there. Yeah. Until John Jones loses, I don't believe it's possible that he loses, you know. And somebody asked in the chat, is DC a fireman also? Yeah, DC is actually a fireman in Cleveland. Stipe's a fireman in Cleveland. And in addition to training, he's never left that job. He's always been in that job. He's never left it. So training and everything at such a high level to compete at, he's never left it. It's unbelievable. I mean, the guy is insane.
You can't give up that city pension.
Nobody's giving up that city, especially in Titletown, baby.
Can't give up that city pension. Beeb's getting a city pension.
Love it. Love it. The Beeb, son.
Well, I'm going to have to dip into the Beeb Industries 401k now because we got that pension.
Double dipping, baby. Double dipping. Claudio Monreal says John Jones has had issues with tall guys. He has. It's a good fight. Stipe's a grinder, man. He's a tough guy. You know,
I like John Jones.
I like John Jones too, man. They're both insane, man. All right, go back to the phone. 773 Chicago. I think this might be Kevin from Chicago. 773.
Pauly did nothing wrong. Pauly did nothing wrong.
Gonna get you a shirt, free Pauly T-shirt. Free Pauly.
That's right.
Free Pauly T-shirt.
We're rent free. Let's see what I was going to talk about. No, David Benavidez. We were saying he's young. Well, you know, he's young. He missed weight. He failed the drug test with cocaine. He's young. You got to give him a break. He's not that young. How old is he? 23, 22 years old?
Yeah.
He's younger than you, Kevin.
I mean,
look at you. We cut you slack all the time. Why can't we cut David Benavidez slack? We cut you slack because of your age. Why can't we cut David Benavidez slack because of his?
I don't know, man.
You because you're young.
Missing weight. I ain't got nothing to be forgiven about. I'm always right.
I don't see Kevin making those mistakes, Beeb.
Kevin, how much do you weigh right now?
Too much. No, I'm like
175, 170.
Kevin ain't trying to be a professional fighter, B.
All right then, Kevin.
He doesn't have to go to the office and make weight.
No,
that's my point about David Benavidez. You should be able to empathize.
You know, the thing with David Benavidez, when I knew he was troubled, when him and his posse went and cornered Caleb Plant when he's trying to get a workout in, it took him, I don't know, three or four of the people cornered him, try to start a beef.
I saw that, yeah, that was ridiculous.
And when I knew that kid was a piece of shit, and then he failed the drug test with cocaine. Now he's missing weight. What?
Whoa.
Come on. I'm speaking facts here.
That's a little bit harsh, Kevin. You're willing to cut Pauly slack, but you're not willing to cut this kid slack? Wow.
Pauly like I see
Jason
it.
Jason said not
everybody
can
like
be disciplined like Tank.
Hey, that's just the way it is. He flew it. I was looking forward to a big unification bout with him and Caleb Plant, but it doesn't look like it's going to be happening anytime soon now, thanks to David Benavidez. Can't keep his weight in check. He's not even looking like he's that big. He looks like he's flabby
around
the waist.
You don't want to see the fight anyways. You don't want to see Benavidez ever again, the way you're talking.
No, I wanted to see that fight. David Benavidez looked flabby around the waist. He looked like he had weight to lose.
Oh, here we go
he
again.
Like he was...
Here we go again.
All right, we'll leave
here
that subject alone. Let's talk about the fight of the weekend, the real fight, Stipe versus DC. I got to respond.
That's right.
What did you say? He said DC should have took him down. He tried to take him down. Stipe popped right back up. People forget Stipe is a credentialed wrestler himself. He's a very athletic big
man.
Stipe's
the man, son.
He is the man, baddest man in the world. And people are saying he should have just wrestled. DC should have just wrestled. It's a lot easier said than done. DC doesn't have the gas tank to go out there and try to wrestle that big man around for 25 minutes. I think if he would have did that, got his takedown stuffed, he would have got finished. But it is funny, the media darlings, DC and Sean O'Malley, they both lost. That's just the way the world operates.
Yeah, but Sean O'Malley, you know, that Sean O'Malley one, I mean, if you saw his foot, I mean, when you saw him reach at the, he was doing that footwork thing, and when he moved forward, I mean, yeah, it didn't look good, man. It didn't look good. So I could definitely see it.
Let's start cutting people some slack here, man. There's no second chances in this place anymore.
You know what? There's one response that Sean O'Malley thing.
Double standards.
Hey,
double standards.
You got one chance to get in front of the spotlight, baby. That's
you
it.
You want to give Paulie Malignaggi 75 chances, and poor 23-year-old David Benavidez is just starting out in his life. Manhood life.
Stop it, dude.
And you're not even willing to give him a second chance.
Oh, stop it.
This is very disheartening.
It is. Paulie ain't failing drug tests.
You don't think Paulie Malignaggi's never sniffed a line of coke or smoked a joint in his life?
How dare you even insinuate
that? You don't think that he's ever done that?
Stop.
Did he fail a drug test?
In his lifetime.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm asking you, did he? I don't think
so.
Did he miss weight with the title on the line?
Did he spit at a fan? Did he spit at a fan when he was working?
I hope
that's
so.
Worse.
It was a Conor McGregor fan.
That's worse than missing weight, in my opinion.
Allegedly, spit on someone. I didn't.
No, he
see
did.
It. I didn't.
He
see
did
it.
It.
I didn't
he
see
did it.
It.
You had your eyes closed.
I heard that guy got paid.
Oh man, I don't want to talk about Paulie Malignaggi. We did that last week. Sean O'Malley, this is the thing. You have to be able to. You got to be built for war. You got to be able to be durable. And if that means your ankle's holding up, that's a win. So obviously not the way that Chito Vera might have wanted to win, but that's what it is. You got to be able to hold up. You got to be durable.
He won.
Some people, exactly.
Yeah. Bottom line is he won. Yeah.
You got to start cutting people some slack on this channel.
Come, I mean. You got to see the way they were hyping up DC and Sean O'Malley. That was pretty much the entire coverage. It was, will DC get his belt back and retire on top and cement himself as the best heavyweight? Will Sean O'Malley take the next step and become the superstar? It was just every single promotion was about that. And that's how the world works. It rights its wrongs. Karma. Karma always comes back. But shout out to Stipe. I think it's a tie between him and Fedor. Is the greatest heavyweight of all time. It's a close one, but I think Stipe might have passed Fedor with that win. Just barely.
Yeah.
What's your guys' thoughts on that?
Fedor was a legend. Now we're gonna cancel Fedor too.
We just canceled the son. He's from Title Town. What are you gonna do?
What is going on? We're canceling Fedor.
Come on, son.
How can we do that?
Stop.
First
David Benavidez,
now Fedor.
You got to look at resume. If you can't go off aura and...
Brokoff.
That was huge. But look at Stipe. Overeem. Ngannou. Arlovski.
Frank Mir.
Mark Hunt.
Frank Mir. Look at all the former champions. Look at all the former champions he beat. Chael Sonnen.
That was moving up and waiting for like one.
A legendary fight that was.
I don't know, man. Those two DC wins were huge. Those DC wins were big time for the legacy of Stipe.
Kevin,
I thought DC was going to win both of those fights.
Kevin, who wins, John Jones or Stipe?
know, man. Stipe, he's getting up there. He's 37, 38 years old. But the thing is, John Jones hasn't looked too good as of late. His last two fights, I think he lost.
He really hasn't.
I think he lost.
You could argue that he lost both of those fights.
I thought he did.
I think he did too.
Thought he did.
And you're going to go up there against Stipe, who's a big guy and can fight and can grind? I mean, I don't know, man.
Yes, that's a tough one. I don't know. The thing with John Jones is he's got good leg kicks. I think he might be able to play a safe fight, stay on the outside.
I was saying that today. Yeah. It's the kicks. The kicks is going to have problems.
He might go out there and make it a boring fight and try to run away and do a kickboxing fight to a boring decision. I hope not. I wouldn't want to see that. I want to see Ngannou versus Stipe. I think Ngannou deserves it anyway.
That's next. Yeah. That's next. I mean, that's what Dana White said. So that's that, you know.
You go.
All right, Kevin, we're
going to
get rolling here.
He's got to defend his leg.
Yeah, he's
going to
fight.
Jan Blachowicz.
He's
going to
rematch that one guy.
No.
He's going to rematch Dominic Reyes, I think he's going to rematch John Jones. So those are the two fights that are next. So
you can't forget about Jan Blachowicz. He's coming off that big knockout.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
All right, I'll leave you guys to it.
All right,
Take
Kevin, we're going to get running, man. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Kevin, thank you as always for joining us.
Because 8:05, you're live.
Online, so they're still going to have the same work to do, and I don't know exactly what.
This is Nacho.
Yeah.
Nacho.
Nacho.
Are you at the drive-thru?
Yeah.
I see two burgers, some fries. All right, let's go to 516. 516, you're live.
Jesse Reakin, brother.
Jesse Reakin, what's the word?
Hey, shout out to my friend Kyle, because he gave me, I just won $700 on this fight, man. Stipe's the man.
Oh, here we go again. Jeez.
What fight did you win $700 on?
The Stipe DC fight.
That's right. And who'd you bet on? Stipe. Because he's from Titletown, baby. Beeb, listen, man, you got to jump on the bandwagon, baby. You got to jump on. This
no,
is
no,
Titletown,
no.
Son.
I just bet on the betting slips.
Wow. Beeb. Oh, Beeb calling you out.
I want to see the bet slips.
Wow.
Beeb, you don't believe
Beeb
me?
Beeb said you didn't
that
make any bets, son. That's what he's saying.
I want to see the receipt.
Trying to start something. That's what he's saying.
$700, that's a lot of money for you.
Bookies don't leave receipts, bro. But I want
phone numbers. I want some type of verification. I want to speak to Willie Blumbots. I want to know what's going on here.
Give me Willie Dynamite's number so I can give him a call and verify that you bet.
give me Frankie Fish Eyes' phone number. I want to know what's going on.
Steve calling you out.
I've always admitted when I lost. I don't understand why you think I'm lying about losing. I mean, when
I'm a straight hater. That's what I am. I'm like Star. Man, remember Star from Star and Buck Wild? Back from Hot 97. I'm a hater like Star.
One of my best friends of all time. That hates me now.
Right, I'm a hater. I'm a hater, bro.
Anyway, Eric, let me talk.
I
want to
see receipts.
What's up, man?
I'm happy I won $700. I'm in a good mood.
I'm happy you won $700, too.
Okay, so what else are you happy about?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Where's this going?
Lomachenko won... Lomachenko actually put his bunny up against Teofimo. That's a pretty ballsy move.
No, he didn't. So the rumor going around was that no, he didn't.
No, yes,
I'm gonna tell you right now, he didn't. Okay. All right. Continue, because whatever I say, I mean,
did you talk to Bob Arum on Friday like I did, and Bob Arum, Bob Arum said ESPN gave both guys the money that they wanted for the fight. ESPN gave them the money. Lomachenko's not paying anybody.
Lomachenko's not coming out of his pocket, right?
Lomachenko didn't come out of his pocket. ESPN gave TSM all the money. Yeah. Ask Bob Arum. I talked to him on Friday.
So why is
this
that?
This is what you're listening to, man. We got
story.
Facts.
Because this is called boxing, the home of fake news.
Right. How many stories do you read that aren't true?
How many stories do you read that you actually believe? Anyone can say anything.
Right.
I think the promoter who actually pays the fighters and gets the money from ESPN knows how much each guy is getting and why they're getting it. Guy who wrote the story's not paying the fighter. Bob Arum's actually paying the fighter.
Right.
With the money that he gets from ESPN.
Put 500 on
the woman. I'll put 1,000. I'll put 1,000 on Tia Thema.
Whoa.
But I want to see the speech.
I can't. No, because I got to be honest.
I
want to
see the
speech.
I don't bet on ass, bro. I don't bet on ass. I want to see cash, man.
No. And you know what I want?
If I bet you, I want the plus 250 I'm going to be getting from Five Dimes.
What's up? Of course not. It's a $500.
What's up, tough guy? You're going to give me the plus 250 that I'm going to be getting for Five Dimes?
No. It's a $500 bet.
Okay.
It's a yes or no.
We don't bet on ass here, bro. We don't bet on ass here. I want the plus 250 that Five Dimes is going to give me.
Have you ever heard of a yes or no question?
I have.
Okay.
And it's a fuck no. It's not even a no. It's a fuck no if I ain't getting plus 250.
Wow.
Why am I gonna bet you straight up when I can get odds from Five Dimes?
He does have a point.
See, you,
he does
you,
have a point
you,
here.
You added an extra word. I didn't need the F word in there. It was a yes or no question. The answer is no.
I'm giving you a fuck no. How's
yeah,
that?
But we don't need that.
I'll put a little something extra on it for you. I'm giving you a little mustard with the hot dog. How's that?
Oh wow.
How's that taste?
A hot dog.
I'm just
from
fucking
you?
With you, man. Don't cry. I'm just fucking with you.
I was gonna say a hot dog served from you is a hot dog served bitter. But I'll eat it.
Whatever you want. You want a hamburger? What do you want? A hamburger, hot dog, whatever you want, bro. What else do you want? You want a grinder?
A grinder. Those are good.
Back in the day, you used to get them grinders in high school.
Those are the best, weren't they?
I think we used to get them on Thursdays.
They were pretty good.
I don't like them, though. I like people.
I want
chicken fingers.
I want 700. I'm good right now.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you go, man.
All right, Jesse, we're going to get running, man. We got a lot of callers on the line here. $700, B. 1-700. Oh, my goodness. All right, who do we got on the line here?
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Georgie.
Hey, yeah. What's happening,
Georgie? Are you a David Benavidez fan? Georgie, are you a David Benavidez fan?
Nah, it's alright, bro. I guess so.
Are you like the rest of the wagon like everybody else?
Jump in the wagon, baby. Go with the flow. Fuck it. Why fight it? Join them. So with these fucking mafia,
don't
be
like
robbery.
Else,
yo, you seen the UFC too? Do you guys
What's
check
that?
On the UFC?
Yeah.
Yeah, you watched it.
Were you not listening to the show? I'm
not paying attention, man.
Yo, that shit doesn't disappoint, huh? That shit never disappoints. That shit always on the money.
Oh,
that
yeah.
UFC always on point, bro.
Got a point. Yeah, he's right.
And
he
these people
right.
not even fucking at ace of what these motherfuckers on boxing doing, bro. Oh, you see fucking robberies and junkies, mafias, all this shit. Whatever, man. Listen, Beef, so what's going on with that fucking that Lomachenko fight? That shit back on now?
Yeah.
It's on, yeah.
Yeah.
It's on. It's happening in October, right? Bob said
so
it's on.
So what we going to do? Because
yes.
I called last week talking about, yo.
ESPN.
Listen.
According to Bob Arum, ESPN put some more money in both guys' pockets and got the fight done. That's what Bob said.
So
I think it's October
17th, I believe.
October 17th.
Okay.
Yeah, it's done. It's done. I got Teofimo. You got Lomachenko?
I was picking Lomachenko by default because I really want to go with Teo, but like I called last week and we moved to the Leo Santa Cruz fight and Tank. So what are we doing now?
I got Leo. You
so
want Tank?
We staying with the Leo fight? Okay. I already had that because I want Teofimo really to fucking win. But, yeah, I stay with Leo.
Just want to make sure. Do you think Tank's going to beat Leo? Because I like Leo. I like the upset in that fight, too.
Tank's going to murder this cat. As soon as he put those hammers on
him,
that dude
okay,
is
dead.
I'm
putting this title on the line, that green belt right there. I'm putting that on the line.
Listen.
Chip that to
the
green belt. Ship that to the office.
Everybody send all them belts to Boston, baby. Start sending all this shit over here because you're not going to see those belts in a while. Start sending them all over here. Listen, there ain't much to talk about. I didn't like that Rolly fight. Dougie getting my heat. But in a way, it's a good thing because at least you know who's hype, who ain't. You know what I'm saying? At least you start fucking, you know, dissecting all the fucking mirages and fucking dreams this mafia be setting up. So that would be a nice rematch if that ever happened. Wouldn't mind seeing that. Fucking Benavidez. Man, listen, Tank, another thing, Beef. Tank going to come fucking overweight, so I don't want to hear no crying.
That's a bad thing to Tank.
Huh?
That's bad for Tank if he comes in overweight. He's going to be slow and sluggish like he was in his last fight against freaking Gamboa.
I just don't want to hear no crying about it.
Well, you're not going to beat Leo Santa Cruz throwing 20 punches around. I'm just telling you that. That's it.
Yo, but you think
Leo
saw that, bro? Leo's not even all that. Leo never made all that, baby. Leo's half a match.
He's a buzzsaw. He's a buzzsaw.
He does throw a lot of punches.
1,000 punches a fight against the iron.
Against
the
guy
iron.
Who does rest. A guy who is prone to resting during the fight. You know what I mean? He's
if Tank decides to bring his sleeping bag to the fight.
That's it.
And take a nap on the ropes like he always does, then it'll be a long night for him. Remember the beef told
you. I'd be amazed if that shit makes it to the seventh round. Amazed. He's got to stop
Santa
him.
Cruz
Yo, he
is a
retire
bun.
Right there.
He is
he
a
retire from this fight. Mike,
he
my
is
words,
an energizer
man.
Bunny. He is an energizer,
buddy.
He ain't
doing shit. Tank gonna murder this cat. Yo, Tank walks around.
I think Leo Santa Cruz throws punches when he's sleeping. I've seen Leo. I think when he's in his bed sleeping, he's throwing punches. That's how much punches this kid throws.
And Tank's over there running around with that Instagram model now. Did you see that? TMZ posted pictures of him and his chick or whatever. He ain't thinking about this fight, son.
Tank's eating chicken nuggets right now, drinking an icy. He ain't ready.
He don't take much to go fuck up Santa Cruz, baby. Look at Frampton. Didn't Frampton beat him on the first fight convincingly? Look at Frampton.
Tank's got a pizza delivered to
his
house as we speak. As we speak, Tank's got a pizza delivered to his house right now, and he's already eaten half of it.
Don't even matter.
You know
where
Leo is right now?
Didn't Frampton dominate?
You know where Leo is right now? He's throwing punches. He's throwing punches. He's got a heavy bag in his living room. That's why this guy can throw 1,000 punches a fight. He's got a heavy bag in his living room. Hank's playing Xbox right now eating a pizza. That's different.
Oh, you know what? It was Devin Haney. I'm sorry. I thought it was Tank Davis.
Well,
I guess we're going to find out. Yo.
That Instagram model, that Instagram model's dating Devin Haney.
Well, Tank was probably with her first.
He was, too. I know that for a fact.
Tank was with her first.
That is true.
Devin Haney scooped her out the Tank up.
The Tank hate is real.
Jason's jealous that Tank's with Instagram models instead of him. He's got a crush on Tank. Tank! Oh, don't talk bad about my Tanky. Oh, Tank dates on her V-Stars. He was never dating an Instagram model.
I love to rub coconut oil all over Tank.
He's hanging on Tank's nutsack.
Listen, do you think that Leo is really that he's going to bring all these Mexicans? You think he's going to bring them to the pay-per-view?
No, because there ain't going to be no crowd.
He's going to muster.
Listen.
So who's going to be? Who really the A-side there, though?
It doesn't matter.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about it. Are you afraid of, Eric? What are you afraid of? That your Mexican heritage is not going to back you up once again? You don't know that.
I'm going to drop some gems right now if you give me 3 minutes. You want to talk about A-side? First of all,
the fight's at
130. Wait. First of all, the fight's at 130. And the lightweight title's on the line, and the junior lightweight title is on the line. Okay?
Wait.
If Tank is the A side, why is he fighting at Leo Santa Cruz's weight? And why is he putting his title on the line in a 130-pound fight with Leo Santa Cruz if he's the A side? Explain that. I'm waiting.
All right. Let's go with this. First of all, neither one, on my view, is a motherfucking A-side. Because I know Leo hype is fucking DSG hype. The same type of hype. They got a bunch of Puerto Ricans that they follow him there, this and that. Motherfucker don't even know
about.
Let's
not talk about Puerto Ricans, all right? Let's not take shots at ethnic groups on this channel.
That's right.
We're not going to take shots at ethnic groups on this channel.
Let me burn, baby. Let me burn. My Puerto Rican above for you. So silence. Yo, listen. So it's the same shit. This is the Al Heyman whole playbook of hyping this motherfucker up based on the ethnicity. We know that shit played out. Now, Tangier, he got his ethnicity following him. But this motherfucker, when he fought in Atlanta, that motherfucker was packed. So I know if he can pack, he put asses and seeds. So that got to translate on some type of fucking pay-per-view buying. Now, Santa Cruz, he been doing his shit down on the West Coast because he had the fucking Mattis fight. But besides that, I don't remember really like Santa Cruz packing no fucking places. So we're talking about money and we're really generating the fucking money.
What are you talking about? God, I cannot follow your call. You're all over the place.
What is this? Have any bearing on who's going to win the fight?
Nothing. It has nothing to do with nothing.
Who cares about what? We're in COVID right now. Forget about live crowds.
Right.
Forget about
no, but you don't follow. What is it that you don't get? Hold on. Give me a second. I'm telling you that people who follow Tank,
I don't understand why you're talking about crowds when there's not going to be a crowd at the fight.
Are you high?
What
are you talking about?
People, wolf.
Were you hanging out with Jesse Reek?
Listen, time out. Because you guys slow. You guys slow. You guys too slow. I don't understand why I got to explain this to you. This is like the third time I called. I'm trying to put this phone through your fucking brain. Listen. The people who go see fights, who cannot see the fights now live, are definitely buyers. Do you get that through your brain? Those are pay-per-view.
Get
the fuck down.
The but who cares about that? We're talking about who's going to win.
No, I'm asking. I asked, who was the A-side? And
listen,
you give me a long speech about what the fuck you were thinking about the bell, this, that, and the third. All that bullshit that don't matter. Because all this matter is money. That's what I'm bringing all these fucking people who fucking go to see the fight. So that translates on money on pay-per-view. Set a fight pay-per-view buy. Somehow you don't see it. Somehow you fucking lost. The fuck?
I don't care about the pay-per-view buys. I don't have a vested interest.
I'm not getting paid.
I'm not getting a piece of the pay-per-view revenue. Why the fuck do I care
so
about
why
the pay
you
make
this argument? If we were talking about who was the A-side, why you give me all these bullshit arguments about the belt?
There is no A-side. You're both diamond fighters.
And what were you talking about?
Fighters.
Go ahead. Explain yourself.
Who cares? Who cares?
You done? Now, a civilized fucking individual will care because money's what run this bitch. You don't want to see it. You want to talk about how Tank going to his fucking weight division and he's fighting for this belt. And none of that shit means nothing. It means who the fuck is the A-side who want to bring the more money to the table. That's why it comes down. Always come down to that. But here we are talking about what? Explain, B.
What
please.
Do you mean? Who cares who gets more money? The fight signed. Who cares who gets more money?
Who cares
who's the B-side? The fight is signed.
McCaskill beat Brakus, and McCaskill was the B-side, and she won.
Huh.
So what does that mean?
What that means? Like,
you know what? She's not
going to
be the A-side of the
next
fight.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm gonna tell you what it means. Cause I don't supposed to be coming here as the motherfucking historian. But your motherfuckers is the one who forget shit, somehow get amnesia. Let me explain this to you. For the last motherfucking time, every time somebody goes to a pay-per-view, the person who wins the pay-per-view, you understand? Become the A side. Whoever wins, get those numbers.
There is
that's
no A side in the
because,
fight, though.
Listen.
There's no A side. Tom Brown is promoting this fight, not Mayweather.
Listen.
Mayweather's the promoter in this fight.
Why are you blocking?
He's not the lead promoter.
Why are you blocking?
Because you're telling that's not true. He's not the lead promoter in the fight. Tom Brown is.
Mayweather became Mayweather because every time that he fought on pay-per-view, he beat the other guy. De La Hoya was the A side. When fucking Mayweather beat him, all those numbers became rude. Mayweather numbers. His pay-per-view. On that point, he took it from De La Hoya. And that's how these matches are too late. All this.
Georgia, you're not making any sense tonight.
The promoter of this fight is TGB Promotions, Todd Brown. It says it right
and
here.
It's not the lead promoter of this fight. I'm not talking about that. What are you talking about?
Mayweather is not the promoter of this fight. promoting this fight.
Listen, I know. You said it 20 times. You don't get it. I'm not saying he's a promoter. That's what you're saying. I'm not saying he's a promoter. Where you going there? I'm saying when did I order a show? Listen. Let me get my point across. When Mayweather fought De La Hoya, De La Hoya was the A side. All those pay-per-views were on his back fucking bill. He had all those pay-per-views on his bill. Mayweather beat De La Hoya, he became the A side. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, you're right, George. 100%.
Listen.
You're right. 100%. I agree.
Take my A side decision.
So what I'm saying is,
George, we gotta get rolling, man. We're gonna get rolling.
Eric, is there really an A side in this fight? To be honest with you,
If I had to choose, it's gonna be one.
It's gonna be one. That's what I'm saying. Whoever wins now is gonna become the A side. That's what I'm saying. Whoever wins is the A side.
Leo Santa Cruz's promoter is actually the promoter of the event. So technically, he's the A-side.
Whoever wins becomes the A-side by the pay-per-view numbers. That's how I always see some boxing.
Stop it.
The promoter is irrelevant. Stop.
Okay. You're right, Georgie. 100%.
We agree.
I don't know what I was thinking. You're right.
Steve, I don't know what you were thinking either. I mean, clearly, I mean, he's presented a well-laid-out case.
Tom Brown has promoted the last fucking five Leo Santa Cruz fights, okay? He's listed as the lead promoter. He's listed as the only promoter of this fight. Mayweather Promotion is not even listed as a promoter. Now, will Mayweather Promotion, will their name be painted in the ring and shit? Of course. But they're not the lead promoter.
They don't have to do nothing with him, baby. That's nothing to do with him. All I'm saying is that when he fought the
Georgie, we're going to get running, buddy. All right, we're going to get running.
You're right, Georgie.
You're right.
I'm sorry.
100%.
I apologize. I don't know what I was thinking.
I can't deal with it. Too much nonsense. I mean, like, I don't know what he's trying to say. I don't care who the A side is.
I don't care who the A side is. I get what he's saying.
Whoever wins will be the A side on pay per view.
But I don't care.
I don't even think that's the case, to be honest with you. I don't even think that's the case.
That depends on how good the pay-per-view does, which I think it'll do pretty well.
So we ask ourselves, how do we follow up this call? And, you know, now we got to go to 706 in
Finally, have to bring some calls.
These last three callers are the cream. The cream of the crop.
Yeah, right.
You've spoken up, man. Shit, man. Let the caller speak. Jesus Christ. If you wanted to hear yourself speak,
I'm sorry, Jason.
Jesus Christ.
You are 100% right, Jason. This is your time.
Also, another thing I was going to say.
This is your time. You waited.
Let me school you on some of Tom Brown's business, okay? Tom Brown is the paperwork, okay? He doesn't promote shit. You don't see him out there promoting anything. LRB and Floyd will be. LRB and Floyd will be doing the promotion
Brown,
on radio, on TV.
If he's just a figurehead, he will say yes.
Hello? Have you ever heard Tom Brown give an interview, you fucking moron? No. LRB is going to promote the fight, and Floyd's going to promote the fight because that's why people watch the fight, because of Floyd, not because of Tom Brown.
Yeah. Sure.
So let me speak,
absolutely,
because you guys are fucking tiny-minded people.
Yeah,
you don't get anything.
Yeah.
You're so fucking tiny-minded,
right,
man. Like, you can't think outside the box ever. That's what Georgie was saying.
How many people in the business do you actually talk to where you can make the claims that you make?
Yeah, there you go. Good question.
I actually talk to people in the business. You don't. You don't.
Talk to nobody.
You talk to nobody. You interview nobody. You've been to no events.
Zero.
So don't fucking tell me what you want to believe, what you hope to believe, because the truth is the truth. Tom Brown is the lead promoter of this event. Nothing you say will change that. That's it.
It's the way it is, son. Oh, he hung up. All right. Well, hey, it is what it is. So, look, I mean,